When Zakir first saw his current bedroom, he was surprised.
When the first I come in the bedroom, in the night are really scary, you know, because I'm alone in the bedroom.
In Afghanistan, where he's from, he says families all sleep together, parents and children, all in the same room. Here on the third floor of a four-story row house he now calls home, the double bed is for him alone.
I'm thinking it's how can I be living alone here?
He's gotten used to it.
It's nice, better than Calais. It's much better.
Better than Calais, the city on France's northern coast, where there was a giant informal refugee camp until the end of 2016.
Yeah, I'll be watching TV here.
Zakir spent 8 months there.
That's mom's bedroom.
Mom's bedroom. He's referring to Helen, the owner of this house on the outskirts of Lille, about 100 kilometers inland from Calais.
She is very helping me. It's the same like mom.
Helen is a British woman who's been in Lille for over 30 years. Her house is a haven for people and animals.
Four cats, one guinea pig, and a 16-year-old geriatric goldfish.
Plus the neighborhood strays. A cat looks into the sliding glass door next to the kitchen table where Helen and Zakir are seated finishing breakfast. Zakir, who's 21, is about the same age as Helen's two children, who are 22 and 18, and not living at home these days. Zakir has come to fill the void in a way.
I'm his mum, his stand-in mum, and he's my stand-in son.
Zakir moved in with Helen in March 2017 after he'd gotten asylum in France and had nowhere to live. In 2016, he left his native Afghanistan. He's from an area under Taliban control. His final destination was Calais. He arrived in February 2016 and stayed until the camp was shut down at the end of that year. There, he learned English and other languages.
English, Urdu, Hindi there. Now I'm speaking 5 languages.
He also discovered Bollywood music.
I like it music. I like it Indian music.
In a migrant center where he was moved to after Calais was dismantled, a social worker talked to him and a friend about organizations that help asylum seekers connect with French families.
We said we need a French family for learning French.
Zakir met Helen through one of these groups called Singa. Once a week, Singa members, locals and migrants, newcomers as they're called, meet here at a community center in downtown Lille to hang out. It's called Singa Blah Blah. Helen first met Zakir this way.
And we play Uno and we drink juice and we eat cakes and everything.
Singa also has an online platform that connects people for housing. Through that, Zakir found 2 short-term housing situations, but they didn't last. And in the beginning of 2017, he told Helen he was having trouble finding a place to live.
I said, well, come back with me and we'll think about it.
So she said, okay, you come with me. It's no problem for me. I relax.
Since Zakir moved in March, he's introduced Helen to Afghan culture. Food is a big part of it.
I make kabli pulao. I make bolani. It's very famous. Same like samosa.
This isn't the first time that Helen has hosted someone. In 2005, she took in a Ukrainian orphan, and he lived with her on and off for 12 years. When she saw the migrant crisis unfold in 2015...
I thought, gosh, I've got to do something.
And for her, that meant taking someone in, which is how she found Singa. She hosted 2 refugees before Zakir moved in, but she didn't have the same relationship with them, though she's had no problems either.
Every single person I've met since 2016... I mean, I've had no issues with them. I mean, I'm not saying they're perfect. I mean, and I'm not saying there aren't bad ones amongst everybody. I think we underestimate and have fear of something we don't know.
You must meet them. If you don't make this step, you will keep your fear.
Sophie Gigot is the motivating force behind a group called Migration that provides shelter for migrants on the weekends. People who are in Calais today, living on the outskirts of the city, in the jungle as it's called, hoping to cross the channel to the UK. People who can't really stay in France, says Sophie.
If they apply for asylum here, they won't get it. They are Ethiopian, most of them. Most of them are overage. So the chances to get the papers are very, very low.
Hosting started as a personal project for her. She was meeting migrants in Calais while doing research for a book, and she'd take them home to stay in the spare bedroom of her home in Roubaix, a Lille suburb. She gradually drew friends and then friends of friends into the loop, and she launched Migration at the start of 2017. In 2 months, she recruited 800 people as hosts and drivers.
We have a team of drivers. We can take something like 50, 60 people every weekend.
The migrants are brought to families throughout northern France. They stay two nights, from Saturday to Monday morning. In her experience, Sophie says they all want the same thing.
First, they ask to take a shower. And they ask us if we can wash the clothes. And then they eat. And then internet, of course. And then they need to rest.
Some sleep all weekend, she says. The fact that she's attracted so many people in such a short amount of time means she's tapped into a desire to help.
A lot of people, they wanted to help, but how? Except giving money to the association. It's very difficult to give some help. Come to Calais, and what will you do? Hello, I'm a French citizen, I want to help you. It's difficult. So thanks to us, they have the opportunity to do that. They were just waiting for that.
In another Lille suburb, Véronique walks from her car parked in the driveway of her home. Faramaz greets her inside. He's 23, from Afghanistan, and has been in France for a few months. Before living with Véronique, he was sleeping in a tent. I was out on the street for 4 months, he says, in halting but very understandable French, which he's learned in just a few short months. Faramaz was introduced to Singa through a friend, and he found hosts through the group. But the last family putting him up moved away, and he was out on the street. When Helen found this out, she connected him with Véronique. Helen found me a place to live, he says. He and Véronique had met before at Singa events, which she says was reassuring.
I knew him before. He was a good boy. I knew that before. So it's easier. I think it's not possible for me to welcome someone that I don't know at all.
Véronique has children Faramaz's age, and her son no longer lives at home. Her daughter does. Her relationship with Faramaz is not the same as Helen and Zakir's.
We share some meal, but Faramaz has a lot of activities, so I don't see him every day. We speak a lot when we are together. Many discussions, interesting discussions. He wants to do scientific studies at the university. I am scientific, so we have a common ground.
Véronique is a physics professor at the university, and Faramaz has registered for classes there. He says he's taking philosophy classes and French. He says living with French families has helped a lot with the language. It's helped learn about French culture, he says. Véronique says there's been no culture clash.
I heard of a problem with other Afghan young men that are more macho. So they sit down and wait that the woman prepare the meal. So it's not the case here.
Zakir says he's had to get used to interactions between men and women in Europe. He remembers seeing a man and a woman kissing in public for the first time when he was transiting through Serbia.
I said, oh my God, what's that? That's like, it's very dangerous. Because in my country, you're doing that, they directly kill people, you know. When I'm looking, that woman, man, they're kissing each other or they give it a hug. It's very strange for me.
He's gotten used to it. His parents, too, had to get used to his living with Helen.
They're thinking it's a little bit strange. It's very strange.
His family made me laugh because they said, who's that person there? She's got short hair. That's a man. And that made me laugh.
Because they never see like that people. Their people have a hijab, something. Now they understand in Europe people living like that.
These days, Zakir works in a kebab restaurant to make some money, some of which he sends to his family in Afghanistan. He'd like to go to school and maybe train as an electrician.
I want a good life. Good life is, how can I explain it? Everyone wants a good life. Good life is like good wife, a good house, a good car, everything, something like that.
He and Helen have developed an unusual closeness.
I suppose it's like some people you meet and you can take them or leave them. And Zakir and I, we've developed this very strong bond, that's all.
I'm never thinking about another house. It's like here, like it's like my forever home.
For me, in the beginning, it wasn't going to be. And he said, oh, but I want to stay forever. I said, okay. But that might be quite nice because I'm getting older and I need someone to look after me in my old age.
When she know one, she can tell me, Zaki, you can look for you another house. Or maybe one day I decide I don't want to stay here because I have a life also.
Sarah Elsis, RFI, Lille.